leader on here. This is a continuation of the McGregor interview with Brian Shoemaker on the 21st of February 2002. And we were just talking about the closing up of NARL, the Naval Arctic Research Laboratory. Okay, you got it.
And at the same time, we were making noises about transferring the property and the facility back to the Bureau of Land Management. We were looking for somebody or some activity that would be willing to take it over, and it being the station and the laboratory, and be willing to support the Air Force's small do-line program on a reimbursable basis. And the land management, with all of the strange ways in which property had been carved up and transferred from one agency of the government to another agency of the government, became a very complex and difficult negotiation. And finally, it was resolved because the North Slope Borough became interested in the property to continue to use the laboratory to support Arctic research, but in addition to become an educational center, sort of like they were thinking of something like a community college, looking at those things environmental peculiar to a community on the Arctic Ocean. And this was the status of the transfer when I retired from Navy Civil Service in 1981. And since that time, the North Slope Borough, it has been managing, or shortly after that, they took up management of the former Arctic Research Laboratory properties. And to the best of my knowledge, they are now the owners of that property. I don't know whether the Alaska Natives Act was amended to include that as part of the North Slope Borough or not, but they are the responsible agent to the Bureau of Land Management for the properties. Anna Mae Weston was the contract officer for the Office of Naval Research, and she was involved from the beginning on this land transfer from the Navy to whoever. And I have no other contact than her, so all I know is that the North Slope Borough is now the manager and had agreed to take it over, and they have made the laboratory a functioning research center and education center on the North Slope. How's that grabbing?
Yeah. Is Anna Mae still with ONR?
No. She retired about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she went back to West Virginia.
Okay. She got family?
Well, she had two children.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether she remained, whether her and her husband are still together or not.
Mm-hmm.
But the children are now a 20-year-old adult.
Yeah. Tell me a field that I'm quite interested in is your opinion about using the natives to support research. How did that work out over your field of time? You there certainly were involved with a lot of them.
Well, first of all, their tolerance of Max Brewer was probably the most wonderful display of human ingenuity that I've ever known.
You say they tolerated him.
Well, their tolerance of his eccentricities. Their patience to wait for days to talk to him. And the fact that they honored him because he was there and stayed there. When I was out on T3, we were away from control. And I found that the support that those guys gave us out on T3 was great.
Yes.
And they never seemed to be affronted when you said, is there something I can help you with? I made that mistake and I wound up changing tracks on a weasel, which is a back-breaking job if ever there was one. Now, I never saw or was I exposed to how Hank Cutchill or Dr. Hunkin or Bull Buck or Willie Weeks used the Eskimos in support of science. I saw them only in the logistics arena. Managers of a Caterpillar tractor shop, repair of Caterpillar tractors, working on Caterpillar tractors, and things of that nature. And the one thing that I found that worried me was the fact that they sometimes got very intoxicated. I wasn't close enough to the community to know whether it was widespread or not, but it was enough that I talked about it with Max a number of times and with Max Britton. And both Britton and I felt that it was something that we had to deal with, but we didn't know how to. At least I did not. So we lived with it. When you look at overall, the guys that maintained the airplane did a pretty fair job. When they were on the ice and there was some control exercised over liquor, alcohol, it seems to me that things ran pretty well. They're living on a nice flow station or a nice station is perhaps the most rigorous and without a doubt the most risky of living conditions. And I think perhaps there were times when things went awry that were unavoidable. I think the isolation sometimes gets to be so bad that people who normally can handle it
get forced into doing things that they don't want to do. And I think the principal example of that was when we had the murder on Ice Island 2-3.
Okay. You were talking about natives and the support of science. How about running the base? How'd they do running the base?
Well, we had a contract with ITT and Holmes and Narver.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran the base, and their level, their management was much more pervasive and better than the University of Alaska's management of the laboratory.
What management? Under dinner? It wasn't any better than Max.
Well, that's University contract.
I understand.
University of Alaska.
I understand.
I don't want to talk about Kelly and Denver.
Well, anyway, Max, I agree. ITT, if they hadn't been there, we'd have been in big trouble. They're Holmes and Narva, I guess, before them, up at Barrow. They ran the base. Barely. And in many respects, of course, certainly for the food and the preparation of food rations and everything that went out there to the Ajax, for instance, that was done by Ben Rosé.
Yeah.
It was not done by University of Alaska, although they were supposed to be doing it.
Well, they just picked up the phone and said, we've got to resupply T3. Do it. You know.
Unfortunately, they got in the way.
I don't know whether the University of Alaska had any kind of an agreement with them or not, but I know that it was one of the provisions of the ITT contract that they would provide missing facilities.
Oh, they did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
They did all kinds of things for me. They charged us for some of those things as I added them onto the contract under my whatever clause it was. And the other great coordinator that was up there was Andy Heiberg.
Yep.
And then he did what the University of Alaska was supposed to be doing, basically. Bottom line.
Yep.
He did their work for them.
And young Bill Buck did it before him.
Yep.
In the old buildings.
And what was interesting too was Understeiner at first had Warren Dinner when they were talking about science on T3 and what they were doing, not T3 on Ajax, what they were doing. Dinner, he was director of science, who wanted to talk about it. He was so out of touch that Norbert came to me and asked if I'd do the briefs. And I did from then on. I never let Warren up. In fact, I never let him up to talk to distinguished visitors because he gave... He must have been drunk. I don't know. He gave some bad. He said some really off the cuff things that weren't too smart. You didn't want him up in front of anyone. So anyway, I worked pretty good with Norbert. He remembers that. It went very well when I took it over. As he couldn't be in Barrow all the time. He was down in University of Washington getting support there and fighting for things. So. Okay, well, what else we got to talk about?
I'm talked out, I'll tell you.
Yeah, that's how they go. Towards the end of these interviews, you kind of grasp and oh, I forgot to tell you this, and gee, let me go back and tell you that, and that's fine. Let me tell you what's going to
This is the end of the McGregor interview at tape count 236, side 4A. This is the 21st of February, 2002.